Good afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Tuesday, to get you through another crazy, wild, maddening day of news that we'll figure out together on the Jason Ranch on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. We got a lot to get to, an absolute bonkers and dangerous road rage incident in Seattle tells you just how far things have fallen here. And that is what's trending.
What's trending? Crime.
So this happened yesterday afternoon, actually during the show or right as the show was starting. It happened at a QFC grocery store parking lot. It's not entirely clear what led up to the road rage incident, but one of the drivers said that they were cut off and then brake checked, which is something I just don't understand why you would brake check someone, because that ensures if it's truly effective, your car will be damaged. I don't get that one at all. It's stupid. So the driver gets brake checked. I'm assuming there was some kind of visual altercation involving fingers and gestures, and let's go there. And so both pull over into this parking lot. They get out of their cars. They do what I presume guys do when they're involved in these kinds of incidents, which is puff their chests up and get ready for a fight. So the brake check guy, the guy who did the brake check, is in a van. The victim of the brake check is in a Mustang. So there might have just been some jealousy going on. So van guy punches Mustang guy in the face. Mustang guy then pulls out a knife and stabs the van guy. Because, hey, if you're going to punch me, presumably he's thinking, I need to protect myself now. This is why I have this knife. Now, we know the van guy was taken to the hospital with stab wounds or a stab wound. We don't have any update on his injury, on his condition. But we know that while that stabbing took place, the van guy's girlfriend or wife, just significant other or, you know, mistress, I'm not sure who she is, but she gets out of the car with a baseball bat and then apparently hits Mustang guy with it. So van guy's girlfriend's all getting involved with a bat. Lainey works nearby. She spoke with Como TV and said this was weird.
When he, like, just came in here, like, obviously very distressed, like, frantic, super upset. And then he just told me that he had, like, stabbed somebody. So, like, I was, like, a little afraid in that moment when he told me that.
Like, my God, like, in stuff like stab-like things like. So, obviously, Mustang driver was, I think he believes he was defending himself. He realizes that a woman with a bat, probably not a great idea to stab her too. He runs away. Como's reporting that he ended up escaping completely, just leaving, running away after the assault. But when cops arrived, he then arrived to explain what had happened. I don't know any details beyond that as far as any, or do they suspect him of violating the law? Is he in any trouble for defending himself? I haven't seen any of those pieces of information, but it really does tell you just how far things have fallen in the city of Seattle that I'm not shocked by this. I'm really not. I'm not shocked by road rage incidents, which appear to have been on the incline, at least anecdotally. I haven't seen any data suggesting it, but I've certainly heard more stories about road rage, not just in Seattle, but across the state, more so now than I have in the past. But we are getting sort of outrageous crime stories every single day that we used to only get maybe once every couple weeks, maybe once a month. Just one of those crazy stories of a crime. Doesn't it feel like we're getting them every single day? Like literally every single day? Again, not just in Seattle. There used to be a point where folks would tell me, oh, I moved to Bainbridge Island. I moved to Port Orchard to escape the silliness, the nonsense of Seattle. I'm so glad I made the move to Shoreline. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself dealing with exactly the same criminal behavior and other political nonsense that you did when you lived in Seattle. It follows you around. And to this day, I still have, you know, if I were the mayor of the city of Seattle, the world would implode. I mean, let's be honest, if I ever got even close to that position. I'm not even allowed in City Hall. So
is that true?
Definitely not going to. I've never tried to, if I'm being honest. But I mean, I assume that they would not allow me in. If I were in charge, if I were Bruce Harrell, I would be delivering a speech every single week. Every single week. Raising the alarm. Telling people, hey, this is not okay. We need to do something. We need to do something. The state needs to step up and get rid of their anti-police bills. But what is the state doing instead? They're introducing more. They're introducing more anti-police bills. There is no leadership whatsoever in the city. The only time someone steps up beyond one council member, Sarah Nelson, I think, is doing a good job and is being proactive. But for the most part, the only time someone stands up and does something or says something, sends a strongly worded press release, is after a tragedy has occurred. And that's not even a guarantee that after a tragedy occurs, someone will actually step up. There's no guarantee. It's kind of hit or miss. But it is sad that we've come to the place where we have to get to the point of some kind of tragedy before someone says something. That's not even a high bar. Just like, can you say something, Mayor Harrell or council member, whomever? Can y'all just say something? Governor Jainsley, could you just say something? Just acknowledge the problem. Let's go through the 12 steps. You can tell me how you've wronged me at some point in the future, but let's just step up and say, we have a problem. But we never hear that, do we? We never hear that. The only people we hear that from are Republicans who have zero control. They have zero power. Zero power in Olympia. Some of them have more control in counties or cities, but ultimately they are still subject to Democrat rule in Olympia that's driven by Seattle activism. Because we don't do a good enough job of putting our people into office. That's on us. That's on you guys, whomever chose not to vote in the last election. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Jason's world?
So I got an email, and when I say I got an email, everyone in this building that I currently work got an email from the big boss lady. And we have employees from our sister stations, Cairo News Radio, as well as Seattle Sports. We have MyNorthwest.com. We have the sales department. We have the engineering department downstairs. We have different reporters and whatnot. So the entire staff got an email from our boss. And I kind of feel like I'm being accused of something. You know how when you're around a cop, all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, are they here for me? Like if there's just a cop walking by, oh my God, they're coming after me. It's like, what did I do? I don't remember doing anything, but I bet I did something. And now it's finally catching up to me. I always have that feeling. And I feel like a lot of people have that feeling. Certainly when you see sirens going behind you and you're in a car, you assume it's for you for a second. And then you're like, phew, they just drove right past me. But I got this email and I'm going to read it to you. And I am under the assumption she's talking about me, and I feel like I need to say something to defend myself. All. A friendly reminder that you must pay for all the items in the garden level micro market, which is our little... It's not necessarily a kiosk, but a little section downstairs.
It's like a fancy vending machine.
Except you pull stuff from the shelves and you scan it yourself.
But same concept, yeah.
If you inadvertently forgot to pay for your Coke Zero or your spicy noodles, feel free to scan the item at the kiosk, pay for it, then return the product to the shelf. If you are a frequent user of the market, you might consider using the Grab Scan Go app. The QR code is on the pay kiosk. So you can still purchase from the market by using your phone, even if you forgot your wallet. So, passive-aggressive tone aside, because it does seem a little passive-aggressive, because it's very specific. Now, what's an item that I purchase multiple times a day?
Coke Zero.
It's a Coke Zero. And I actually use the app to pay. Except I have been down there in which I'm assuming people think I'm stealing because I think I'm the only one who uses the app. And it's not clear when you use the app to an outsider that you just paid. And part of me always wants to say to the person, hey, I paid. I know what you're thinking, but I never actually do that. Is it possible that people are stealing, and clearly people are stealing something, and they don't know who, but they looked at the surveillance footage and they see me constantly getting Coke Zeros and walking out? Because as I'm walking out, I do the scan on my app and pay for it. I could not help, after I read this, thinking, she's talking about me, but it's not me.
How do you know?
Because I pay. Because I know what I've got. I have literal receipts. It's on the app. It's all there. I pay for all of it. And here's the deal. The only thing that could change my mind, and I've done some detective work, because you know what they call me.
Detective Rance.
Detective Rance. So I found out.
They say this cat Rance is a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
But I'm talking about Rance.
I can dig it.
He's a complicated man, but no one understands him but his barber.
Detective Rance?
Here's what I found out. She says Coke Zero or your spicy noodles. To me, I was wondering, is someone stealing spicy noodles and a Coke Zero? Because then that would definitely, like, phase me out as a suspect. I would no longer be considered a suspect because I don't think I've ever, I don't even know they had noodles, but I don't eat that downstairs. So it couldn't be me. But then this is what I found out by using my detective skills, meaning I went up to an employee, my boss's assistant, and just asked. And she was very forthcoming. I didn't even have to lean on her for any of the answers. She likes me, so I can get information.
Nobody likes you.
She likes me. No one likes you, which is why you sit there alone all day. So I go up to her, and she says, those two items and Diet Cokes are the items that get stolen the most. So that put me back on the category of a suspect because I drink Coke Zero, but I don't consume the other two items. Now, I'm not the only one who's talking about this. Apparently, everyone is talking about this.
This caused quite a buzz in the office today.
Everyone is talking about it. Mike Salk on Brock and Salk on our sister station, he brought it up this morning.
The spicy noodles, that's kind of a, that's a gutsy thing to steal down there. That's not like a candy bar or something like that. That's going after like a whole meal.
They're like cup of noodles.
That what it is?
Yeah, I don't think there's like a full.
Speaking of.
Sounds like maybe Moore's got a little information on the spicy noodles down there.
Have you seen me eating cup of noodles? We work at 5 a.m.
Hey, I don't know when you come back here in the evening. Is this when you?
So everyone is trying to figure out who she's talking about. And I'm imagining, number one is Brian Suits. I'm convinced of it because I just don't think on purpose, by the way. I just don't think he thinks that it's...
He thinks it's complimentary.
Yeah, that's my guess. And I'm like 99% sure it has to be him. But he doesn't eat the noodles. He doesn't look like a noodles guy.
No.
Not a Coke Zero. Maybe Diet Coke. But it is very early in the morning. And he's out of here at like 9:15, so it seems like it would be him.
I don't know. Diet Soda has a stranglehold on a certain generation.
Yeah, I would blame John Curley if he were in the building, but he's not.
Never here.
So it can't be him. So I'm going to go with Brian or someone on weekends who we don't see, so I can't quite finger them as a potential suspect, but someone over the weekend. I just want it to be clear, it's not me.
Have we confirmed that?
I'm confirming it. I'm confirming that it's not me. If you had someone in mind, wouldn't you expect that she would go up to the person and be like, hey, and it's got to be an awkward conversation.
We know you're stealing.
Because you're basically saying.
We know it.
You're stealing a 99-cent can of Coke Zero. I imagine it would go something along like, hey, so we were looking at surveillance. You're not in trouble. Don't worry. We were looking at surveillance footage because we were getting some incorrect data that wasn't matching up with what was being sold and what was on the shelves. We did an audit. It didn't quite match up. And we noticed, and I'm sure you did not do this on purpose. I'm sure you didn't. But it would appear that you haven't been paying for the Coke Zero and your spicy noodles. No big deal. just make sure you go ahead and make sure, you know, your payment goes through. You do owe $112.92. By the way, we're going to take it out of your paycheck. But it's not a big, just, you know, just FYI. I feel like you can have that conversation instead of stirring everyone up. Because I bet you everyone is wondering if it's them.
But this is some big brain stuff because everybody's talking about it. It's been a segment on a lot of the shows all day long. So I think it's good work coming from up top.
But
I don't know.
To what end? You think it's going to stop people from stealing?
Maybe.
Is it possible that they just don't realize that they're stealing? I have been
I would think it's that rather than intentionally.
And here's the deal. So I go down and I stop using the app. I start using my card now. It doesn't always work, the kiosk.
And no,
you have
it doesn't.
To start over four times. I've definitely done this before, which is try to pay. For whatever reason, it's not going through. I go, okay, whatever. I'll come back tomorrow and I'll do it. And then I just scan my Coke Zero two times and pay for it then. I've done that before.
That sounds
not
fishy.
Recently. No, I've definitely done that before. Well, that's not my fault. I'm doing
well,
it.
Maybe forgot to double ring up.
No, I never forget to double ring up. I always, in fact,
interesting.
I'm almost certain that I've quadrupled up when I didn't need to. I'm pretty sure, because you know I forget things all the time, like little insignificant things, like people's names and stuff. I'm convinced they owe me money. So actually, I should be able to steal.
That's
Who do you think is responsible? I think it's Brian.
It could be. I know Isaiah said he eats. Isaiah at the front desk says he eats the spicy noodles.
He admitted that?
He admitted to eating spicy noodles.
I don't know. That's something that a criminal mastermind might say to
it's
take
possible.
The scent off of him.
Yeah, he could be diverting. I've never purchased any of those products, so I think I'm safe.
That's not true.
When have you ever seen me drink a diet soda?
You've had a diet soda.
No, I haven't. I don't.
Yeah, you have. Oh, shut up.
I've drank maybe one soda the entire time I've worked here.
We need to put on the case Benoit or Benoit Blanc. What is his name from Knives Out?
Who?
From Knives Out, the movie. You've heard of the movie Knives Out.
I've heard of it, yeah.
Okay, the main character is a detective.
Okay.
So I'm saying we need him on the case. Do you get it?
Yeah.
Because he's a brilliant detective?
Well, I thought Detective Rance was already on the case, and you haven't solved anything.
I can't investigate the
case. There's a crime crisis in Seattle, and you've been tasked with solving it, and you're doing nothing.
I can't. There's a conflict because I'm a suspect. I can't investigate my own. If I'm a suspect, I can't investigate that.
I guess.
So, push the button.
What's trending? Legal.
State lawmakers are considering a ban on the sale of dogs and cats at pet stores, and it's one of those issues where we're supposed to say, you know, good for them, because they're going after, you know, unscrupulous characters that abuse dogs. And part of the argument coming from the folks behind this, and I believe it's bipartisan, you've got several cities already that ban pet stores from selling dogs and cats, arguing that the animals, number one, aren't healthy, number two, they're not properly cared for, number three, they're usually, they argue, brought in via puppy mills or, you know, abusive breeders or whatnot. Brooke Davies of Posado Safe Haven says we absolutely need this.
This bill tackles the track record of commercial breeders who would not be allowed to operate in our state that have found a way to reach Washingtonians through puppy selling stores that offer predatory financing.
Now, the predatory financing part is the least effective means of getting anyone on board, I think. If you simply say cute, adorable little puppies are being abused, not cats, because who cares about cats, but adorable puppies are being abused, you're going to get people on board. The whole idea, well, it's predatory lending. So what they're basically arguing is that the puppy is so adorable that a business will be like, okay, we'll do this, but we're going to have interest rates at 200%, which is how high they are in Washington State for animals. So you can do installment payments instead of paying me up front. However much a dog costs, I don't even know. We'll give it to you, but on a loan, but 200% interest.
Goodness,
which is a lot. So, if why don't you just first of all, the reason why I'm not moved by that argument is you're making the choice. It's not like they're hiding it from you. You're the idiot who decided to say yes to an animal you can't afford. That's on you. That has nothing to do with the pet store. But if you're truly upset about that one issue, well, then just ban lending at 200% interest for pets if you truly wanted to go down that route. Kayla Kerr is actually an owner of a pet shop, a puppy land, which I think is in Puyallup. And she said, look, not all breeders are bad.
We only acquire puppies from breeders that meet Washington state rules and regulations. This is new. This went into effect January 1.
And she's 100% correct. I hate this bill, and I love puppies more than I like human beings. But this is a nonsense bill. You've got businesses that operate on the up and up and actually do care deeply for the animals and care for them well, and they don't work with puppy mills. If you are aware of a store that is selling dogs and cats but are also sort of abusing the system and going through the unscrupulous characters, why not just close those shops up? Why not make targeted enforcement, because you can't use puppy mills in the state? So let's just, and I'm making that up, Puppies R Us, we're getting our puppies from a mill and you can find that out and it's easy to prove, then just shut it down. But why would we go after businesses that there's no evidence to suggest that they're doing anything wrong? And, you know, I'm sure they'll argue, well, we're not closing them down. Well, how much do you think Puppyland does off of selling dogs and cats? I imagine that's a key part of their business, and you're taking that away. I don't like it. I'm against it. And now I want a puppy. I would get a puppy or a dog if I didn't have to feed it or pick up after it. If there was a way to get out of doing any of that, like 100%, then I would get a dog.
Well, you could just pay for somebody to take care of it for you.
To feed it and walk it? The walking part, probably. But I don't want...
most of that isn't that hard, but...
I would be okay babysitting a dog for... after it ate and already pooped for like 4 hours. I would do that.
Well, good for you.
It could be like a little rent.
You're a rent-a-puppy.
I'm surprised that doesn't exist. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send a text. 1-800-465-8770. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show. Welcome back to The Jason Rant Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm about to sound like old man rants here. My apologies ahead of it, of the inevitable rant. But yesterday was the official day at Starbucks HQ in SoDo, where folks were required to return back to the office at least 3 days a week. Now, Tuesday and Wednesday, you must be in your desk or at your desk, in your seat, in the office. The third day, you could discuss with your individual teams to figure out when you're going to come in. And so maybe everyone's saying, well, let's come in on Monday. Let's just do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You get a 4-day work week because we're on to you. We know you're not actually working when you're at home, or 4-day, 5-day week. It is remarkably lazy that people are doing the work from home still. It's just lazy, and you can't convince me otherwise. In fact, it is the height of laziness. And it's arrogant, too, because you think we think you're working, but you know we don't think you're working. Like, I can't quite figure out the mindset of some of these folks. Do you think we think you're working, or do you know that we know you're not? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how aware these people are, beyond just taking advantage of a policy that was implemented in good faith early on. And for a very long time, people have been taking advantage of this. Now, in the Starbucks case right now, it applies to members of the support center. Howard Schultz said that the policy is just about fairness, equity, adding that baristas don't have the privilege of working from home. Why should you? Well, I mean, with all due respect, a barista, that job could be done by Keurig, so I'm a little bit higher skilled. But point taken. Got it. He said, quote, "When we talk with our store partners, we hear how much they need us. I believe they're asking support partners to be better integrated, showing up as one team, and working to be not just a little bit better, but profoundly better," Schultz said in a blog post, while not so transparently trying to place the blame on baristas, so you don't blame him for bringing people back into the office. They are asking us to do the transformative work that I believe can only be done effectively when we are physically together. He's 100% correct. 100% correct. The quote-unquote transformative work, or even just the basic work, can only be done when you are in the same room or in the same building with coworkers. Now, before, employees were asked to work in the office 1 or 2 days a week, but you know what they did? They were all like, "Nah, I'm a stay home," forcing Howard Schultz to implement this new policy. He said, "This is why I'm also announcing that this policy, 3 days in the regional offices, is a requirement. I would be embarrassed if my boss had to say, 'I'm now requiring you to come into the office.' I would be repulsed. I would never be in that position, because even at the start of the pandemic, I was out for 3 weeks maybe, and then I decided I could just come back in. And when I was working from home, I wasn't working from home. I really wasn't. Not the same as I work here. I'm not as efficient at home than I am here." Now, some people who will not be returning to work are members of a Seattle indie music group called Who Is She? They will not be returning to work as the in-house band for Virtue Signal Arena for the Kraken. So Climate Pledge Arena.
Did they change their name to Who Is They or Them?
Who? No.
They're allowed to use that?
I don't know what their gender identity is. I just know now what their pronouns are. And that's not always the same, and you should know that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Are you sorry? Because you don't seem sorry. It seems like you're making a joke out of this. These are people's lives. These are their lives. Their lives.
Their.
Viewers' lives.
Okay.
So they got canned after calling Jeff Bezos a total jerk and after some alleged questionable behavior. They released a statement. The Seattle Times printed it this morning. They, meaning the Seattle Kraken. They wrote, and in that case, I say they because it's a company and it doesn't have a gender.
Are you sure?
Well, Kraken, is that a boy Kraken or a girl Kraken? I don't know.
The tentacles? I don't know.
So that's not a tentacle.
Oh.
So the boy Kraken. So Seattle Kraken welcomes a variety of artists to play at our games, and we do not believe in censoring those artists, as is reflected by the variety of acts who perform at Climate Pledge Arena. However, we reserve the right to part ways early with an act if their behavior does not meet the professional standards we expect. We also must ensure that the act is appropriate for the family audiences that attend our game. This decision was not related to the band's choice of song. We require that our artists are professional, punctual, and avoid consuming alcohol during their performances. As such, Who Is She? Did not play the following two games. We wish them well. Now, I'm pretty sure in the Times, Who Is She disputed some of the allegations, which is very lame. If you're an indie rock band, you should lean into that, right?
Yeah.
First of all, if you're an indie rock band, why are you playing at the Kraken games? Doesn't that hurt your street cred?
Why would it?
Because you're supposed to be independent. You're not dependent on, like, big label corporations and the man. We like to do our own thing. Or the name of our album, you can't even say on the radio. Like, that's how you're supposed
to... What's the name of their album?
I can't say it on the radio. No, that's the name. I can't say it on the radio. That's the name of the album.
Oh, that's clever.
I made that up. My God. So, are we presuming... But part of me is kind of like, hey, Climate Pledge, you're going after an indie rock band. You don't think they're going to booze it up before performing? What's going on? They always booze it up. All independent rock bands.
Not necessarily booze, but yeah.
They drink.
Or something.
Or weed.
Yeah.
Something like that.
They intoxicate themselves to be more creative.
Sure. That's what we're going to pretend is the case.
That's what they're going to say.
No, I don't think they say. They'll just say, yeah, I like to get drunk.
Or they like to have fun.
Oh, we find it fun. It is an odd expectation, even though I get why it's an expectation. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, yeah, we got Snoop Dogg to play, and we were outraged to learn that he was smoking the marijuana cigarettes on stage. I was disgusted.
How dare he?
I never thought he would do something like that. I feel like you should expect that kind of behavior, unless they weren't performing well as a result.
I mean, if they're making a scene out of it, then yeah. Or if they're drunk and criticizing Jeff Bezos, you can easily lean into the drunkenness over the Bezos lyric, right?
Yeah, and
isn't
I'm
that
assuming
an easy cop out for the Kraken.
Kind of. I'm assuming it was really about Jeff Bezos, who doesn't have a connection anymore, but it does seem uncouth.
It's kind of lame, though. Kind of lame. But I also don't care about the in-house band at a hockey game.
What do they do?
I think they play during the intermission.
But they play actual songs?
I think so.
I don't really know.
I've been to one game. I didn't really notice an in-house band.
Well, you're not really supposed to notice like background music, I guess.
Well, then why does the lyrics even matter? I think so.
They perform an actual set? Or like a mini set in that cannot.
I mean,
be
it's
true.
Not like a halftime show. They're like on the concourse.
Oh, they're not inside.
Well, I mean, they're like in the arena, but not on the ice.
Okay, yeah. If you've actually seen them, please send me a text. I am mildly curious. I guess.
I don't think anyone has.
Well, they were the house band. They've been doing well. I assume people have actually been going to the games lately.
Who can afford to go to the games?
My audience is very wealthy.
Fair enough.
It's a dumb comment. Just because you can't afford it doesn't mean they
tickets
can't.
Tickets are expensive.
How much are tickets again?
Like $125.
What was it when you went?
I paid like $80.
That's nuts.
Yeah, they're very expensive.
But isn't it one of those stadiums or ice rinks or whatever that every seat is pretty good?
Yeah, there's not really a true bad seat.
So you can pay for the cheapest seats.
Yeah.
And probably still enjoy, except you wouldn't be able to see the puck as
no,
clearly,
you can see,
I guess.
I was worried about that, too, but you can see the puck pretty well. It's like sitting at the 300 level at a baseball game. You can still see the ball.
Okay.
It's like the same thing.
I prefer soccer from way above, because then you can fully see everything that's happening on the pitch. It's a pitch.
Ooh, you're extremely fancy.
We got a text that said, I was there one night that band played. They sucked. I believe that. Who is she? What a dumb name.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just, okay, whatever. We wish them all the luck in the world. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send a text. 1-800-465-8770. Now people are just complaining about the price of beer. Is it that expensive still? I thought they lowered the prices.
Well, we did this a couple weeks ago.
It wasn't a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it was. No, yeah, we talked about it somewhat recently.
What was the answer?
It was like $17.
Oh, my God. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. And they play at the top of the level overlooking the arena, says the 206. 1-800-465-8770. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show. Welcome back to The Jason Rant Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Do you know who Zachary Levi is?
I've heard the name.
So he is an actor. He used to be on the show Chuck, which I never saw, but everyone loved.
Was he the main guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was Chuck.
Well, he's a decent show.
He's now Shazam.
Like the app?
Yes, like the app. He's now playing the role of an app. That's what I know.
Good for him.
So he's in the movie Shazam. The sequel is coming out in a couple months or 3 months. It was actually really popular, and I actually liked it. But he set the Twittersphere on fire because he retweeted a statement retweeted a question, I should say. Do you agree or not that Pfizer is a real danger to the world? So he retweets it and inserts the comment, hardcore agree. And then everyone on left-wing Twitter erupted, while everyone on right-wing Twitter supported. No matter what, if you were on the left, if you're part of quote-unquote left-wing Twitter, which I mean when I'm talking about like the activist Twitter users, every single one immediately responded, I am never going to see your movies again. I was all excited. Me and 23 of my best friends, we all pre-purchased tickets to see Shazam on opening night. And you know what? We just returned them all. And we got a refund. And on the way out, I told the movie theater, I will never come back if there is a Zachary Levi film showing in this theater. And then on right-wing Twitter, they said, you know what? I've never heard of you. But me and 23 of my best friends, we just purchased tickets to show you support for what you just did. And I went to my movie theater and I told them, hey, guys, I will only come here if you show Zachary Levy films. If you don't, I will never come to your theater again. I will only show up if Shazam and any future movie he's in, which is kind of on the fence because of the new ownership of the DC Marvel world, whatever. But I'm never coming back unless his movies are here. So both sides are lying. The people who were going to see his movie beforehand are still going to see it. The people who never had any interest in seeing his movies still don't have any interest in seeing his movies. He is trying to distance himself a little bit from the tweet in that he doesn't want people thinking he was talking about the vaccine, which I find hard to believe. And so he tweeted just yesterday a link to a press release from the DOJ from 2009 that said the Pfizer was issuing the largest healthcare fraud settlement in history, paying out $2.3 billion for quote unquote fraudulent marketing. And he tweeted just one example of what I'm referring to. You're referring to the vaccine. I think you kind of knew what you're doing. The funny thing is that he has to walk that back. Like, that's the world in which we live in. And the tribal response is, frankly, on both sides. Just send a bad message. The people who support him just because he took a position you like, just say you agree with the position. You don't have to go to his movies. You don't have to show him support as a result. But I guess I'm more annoyed with the people who pretend that because he holds a position that they happen to disagree with, that they're unwilling to support his movies in the future. What's wrong with you? And by the way, do you think every single person whom you see on the big screen or little screen support everything you support, that they hold exactly the same views? Is that what you think? And you're willing to overlook everything until they go on the record? What kind of world do you want to live in? And do you want to be judged that way? Seriously, think about it. Let's say you're single and you're looking to mingle. It rhymes. And by mingle, I mean just go out for a nice date at a Zachary Levy movie. And then
yeah, literally
afterwards.
The definition of mingle.
So what? Let's say you're out there and you're really interested in someone for whatever reason. It's because they're hot. Let's be honest. And you want to go out. And for some reason, they said yes. They swiped right on you in real life. And upon the date, you talk about a whole bunch of different things. And there's one thing you said that they just happened to disagree with. And then they said, you know what? I was really digging this date. You're really attractive, Jason. Great hair. You're intelligent. You're witty. I've heard wonderful things about you. And they all became true once I stepped foot in this restaurant after having just watched a movie. But you just said one thing that I have a mild disagreement with. We can't continue anymore. And then they just walk out. Now, if you were in that position, you would be like, wait, what? Huh? Seriously? That's what we're doing? And you would be right to be upset with that kind of reality, because you would say to yourself, and you'd be again correct to say, well, that doesn't seem fair. I'm so much more than this one position I happen to hold. Now, are there some positions that one could hold that reasonably we can assume someone will be disgusted by? Yeah. If you're like, I hate Jews, they're probably going to walk away, unless, of course, they're also bigots, but they'll probably not want to have anything to do with you. But simply saying, like, I don't want to get vaccinated, or even something even more mild, the vaccine doesn't stop the spread of COVID. Oh, my gosh. But imagine someone taking the position of just like, yeah, I can't. I could never date someone like that. I never could date someone like that. That's just annoying, and I don't want to live in that world. And it feels like more of us are starting to realize we're living in that world. We want to push back against that as much as possible, only to then find out, no, we're there. We're kind of already there. And it might depend on where you live. We're there in Seattle. I don't think ever a liberal would want to go out with me. They would want to, but they can't, because they can't get over. They'd be like, oh my God, Jason's amazing. But I just can't get over what my friends might think if I go out with a conservative. And they would want to do it on the DL. I'm like, no, I want to do it out in the open. I want everyone
to
know.
But you would
want
to go out with a liberal?
I don't care. Do you care the political beliefs of someone you're otherwise interested in?
Not necessarily.
There's got to be some general compatibility in values or principles, but that's not necessarily based on politics. It could be. Again, it depends on the issue. But people were like, I would never date someone who's a Trump supporter. What's wrong with you? That's equally as stupid as saying I would never want to date someone who's a Biden supporter. I find Biden to be a incredibly dishonest and incompetent president who's making my life worse, making your life worse. But you voted for him. Okay.
Well, yeah, it's just exhausting to have to play that game.
Or don't play the game.
Well, but so many people do.
They do. You're
and
right.
And it's
they
terrible.
Do.
It's terrible.
And part of, you know what is making this worse is everything is now online for the most part. You're meeting people online or you're communicating with people online. And so before you're able to establish any kind of legitimate connection with someone, they have access to all of this information about your beliefs, about your taste in music and movies and books and whatnot. And they will immediately judge you rather than the way it used to be when I was a kid, which was you would meet someone out in the open or maybe in the office or maybe on campus, depending on your age. Hopefully, you know, you better actually be there. And you would go out and you would have cool conversations and you would vibe with one another and you wouldn't immediately start talking politics anyway. It would be mostly superficial stuff, but you develop that relationship. It gets more intriguing and you start to fall for the person. And then by date four, maybe you start talking a little bit about, you know, current events or the news or whatnot, but still you don't go crazy into it. And you just have normal conversations because people have normal conversations completely disconnected from politics. But online, that's all you have. That is all you have. You have access to what did they just tweet about? Well, what are their thoughts on Ukraine? Oh, they don't have a little Ukraine flag in their bio on Twitter. I don't know if I can date someone like that. Before you even give the person a shot. And by the way, conservatives do this too. Less so in Seattle, but conservatives do this too. And I think that that's wrong. And mostly just someone love me. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. But only if you're attractive. Love me. That's the only rule I have. Just be incredibly attractive.